So tonight, we're back in the book. On Wednesday night, we did the steps we took on step 10. And I'm going to review tonight page 85 on step 10 and look at the beginning of step 11. And, you know, I don't really think you can go through this information enough. And somebody made the comment that this is a meeting where I'm sharing knowledge. And I was thinking that is really true. This was their knowledge of what they did so that they could recover from a hopeless condition of mind and body. This is their experience. So we're reading their experience. It's like an open meeting with the founders of AA when we read the book. And then I try to put it in terms of my own experience, and then you can look at this information, and if you do it, you'll see what your experience is. And step 10 to me is the deal. I do it all the time. I was meeting with someone before the meeting, and we were just talking about some things that disturb and how you go through the step 4 inventory whenever you're disturbed or a day, which is step 10. Step 10 is really, the big thing about step 10 is continue. We don't talk that about a lot. It says we continue. So you work steps 4 through 9 so you can continue that work the rest of your life, every day, every minute. And they tell you that this is the how you entered the world of the spirit, which is you have conscious contact with God. And I was thinking about, a lot of people like to say they're recovered because the big book said recovered. And there's some people in all over the country, I hear them speak and they say, we're recovered, we're not recovering. And it's almost like, you know, I'm recovered. But, you know, I was thinking about, to me, recovered is to be in conscious contact with my Creator. And that's a state that changes all the time. And I'm recovered if I'm in fit spiritual condition. And if I'm not, I'm in my own world. And so it's how do you get peace of mind when you're disturbed every day? So that's what step 10 is really about. On page 84 is what you do when peace of mind is disturbed, when things crop up. That one paragraph, I'm not going to go through it again. I did a whole podcast on it. But it tells you what to do. W-A-D-A-T, you watch with God. You ask God to remove these things that are disturbing you. You discuss it with another person. You make amends or forgive. And you turn your thoughts to someone you can help. And then the next paragraph in the step 10 is about what I call the recovered promises. And I call them that because it says how you're going to react if you're in fit spiritual condition. Now, fit spiritual condition, the reason you want to be in fit spiritual condition is not so you like glow or people go, wow, he's in fit spiritual condition. That may be good. But the reason I want to be in fit spiritual condition, because if I'm in fit spiritual condition, I'll act differently than I will if I'm not. I'll act with love and tolerance and consideration and kindness and compassion, and I won't act in the way I used to when I was disturbed, and it was not pretty all the time. And so I want to be in fit spiritual condition. It says if you're in fit spiritual condition, then you're going to react sanely and normally to alcohol. And you may react sanely and normally to life instead of getting bothered and upset and acting out all the time. And it says, the problems don't exist for us anymore as long as I'm in fit spiritual condition. So then I want to, and so page 84 is what you do when you're disturbed, and page 85 is what you do to get when you're in peace of mind and how to keep it. And then you establish a relationship with God through steps 4 through 9. And that's why we have the promises that we read at every meeting. It says, when you're amazed, when you're halfway through step 9, how you see the world differently. And you've all heard the promises read, but they don't come true by just being here. They come through the actions of 4 through 9. And you know, at some of the meetings, I don't know people listening to podcasts if they do it where you are, but at here, everybody, when we do the Lord's Prayer, we end it with, keep coming back, right? And it works if you work it. And I was thinking, well, what do you keep coming back to? Well, the 10th step is where you keep coming back to God. You keep coming back to God all day long. You separate from God, you want to come back to God. Because that's where you want to be. You want to be in the now, in the moment with your Creator. If you're in that moment with your Creator, you have all the power you need to live each day. And if you're, and so God says, keep coming back, and He hugs us every time we do. But He won't prevent us from separating. We have free will. He didn't make us robots, but He made it so that if we let go and we come back, He's there for us. We don't have to do anything but let go and come back. And it says, God can and will if you were sought. So we're God's seekers, and in step 10, we're seeking to maintain this conscious contact that we've established through 4 through 9. Now, some people say this is a maintenance step, but that's not what the book says. It says we want to grow in understanding and effectiveness. I want to grow in understanding and effectiveness of how to stay in conscious contact with my Creator. I want to improve my contact, and I want to be more effective in the world when I'm in contact with Him. And so we want to grow an understanding of our role in the world and their spirit and how we're to carry it out. So step 10 to me is continued conscious contact, tools that when you're out of conscious contact, you get back with your Creator. Chuck C. said, and I talked about, there's only one problem, conscious separation. Well, what does that mean? Sounds great. Conscious separation from your Creator. And then he went on to, and the world, and he says there's the world and everyone in it. Is everybody here in the world right now? Everybody in this room? Physically. But some of you mentally are out in your own little world. And that's the world that we live in when we're alcoholics. And the problem is, and he says this so beautifully, is when I separate, I'm out in this world, I don't realize that there's another world. And he used the word, I'm asleep to the real world. So they use the term spiritual awaken. I awaken to that world that I lived in, self-centered, isn't the real world. It's a world I created. And when we live in this false reality, how'd things go? We're irritable, restless, and discontented. And so I want to be in the world that really exists with God. And so when I'm there, I'm okay. And when I'm out here, I'm not. And I was asleep. People talk about, you hear these speakers, I was broken or asleep. They meant that I wasn't aware that this world that I lived in and all my thoughts and everything I believed, wasn't the real world. It wasn't even true. And it's very powerful, and he talks about that on, you can get it on XA Speakers. It's the second talk of the new pair of glasses, Chuck C., and it's the first 10 minutes. And I've listened to it over and over. And then I hadn't listened to it in a while, and I said, well, Stu said he was listening to Chuck C. I said, I'll listen again, because maybe God will have something there that I'll hear. And then I played that first 10 minutes, and it was something I heard this time, and I really understood it. And so that's how it says more is always being revealed. And then I wrote that step 11 is how you're going to improve this conscious contact so you can stay in that world and improve it through prayer and meditation. And all we want in step 11 is knowledge of His will for me and the power to carry that out. I don't want anything else. And then step 12 is how I practice these principles in all my affairs. And so on page 85 in that, I guess the first full paragraph, it really says so much. And it says it's easy to let up on the spiritual program of action. So here they're talking about you let up and you're not continuing. And rest on our laurels. And I looked up laurels, and it means satisfied with your efforts, not making any further effort. And I think some people in AA rest on how long they've been sober. They're real proud of that. And they tell you at every meeting how long they've been sober. It's very important to them. But like Russell says, you know, you're 20 years, you're in prison, you're a serial killer, and we say, come on down and get your coin. You see, we don't separate emotional sobriety from real from physical sobriety. And what we really want is physical sobriety. And so if I rest in my laurels, then I'm not seeking to continue, right? And then I can stay asleep to the real world and live in my own world, not even know it. It says we're headed for trouble if we do. Trouble's not good, by the way. And it says headed there, for alcohol is a subtle foe. And a foe, I heard somebody in this regard, is a mortal enemy. And it's a subtle foe. And alcohol is in a liquid in a jar. How can it be a subtle foe? How could it have any? It's in a jar, for God's sakes. It can't jump out at me. But my mind, when I'm in, separated from God and I'm in conscious self-centered, I won't have any power to see the effect that alcohol will have on me to say no to it. And if I'm living in the world that I've created, a self-centered world, and I'm separated from my creator, I have no power to see the truth about alcohol. And the bottle, it's in the bottle of the liquid, but my mind says that's going to do something for me. Anybody ever have that? And then you drink it. Anybody ever do that? Everybody get a drink. You didn't get a drink because you said, gee, I'm selfish, self-centered, and I'm separated from God, and I'm full of anger, fear, and resentment, so I'm going to get a drink. You don't go through all that. What goes through your mind is, I need a drink. And you know that that will provide something that you can't have right now in the moment and to give you peace and a solution. But it doesn't work, does it? And so we see the truth about alcohol with our relationship with God, and we could say, gee, that's not what I want to do right now. I want to keep coming back to God, my creator, get in the now, and then that'll be the solution to how I'm feeling. So step 10 is where we're working spiritual tools to deal with our alcoholism each day, and so that we have tools to get back to God so alcohol doesn't come in the picture. So it says we're not cured of alcoholism. And what is alcoholism? Alcoholism is living sober, self-centered, without God, and not having any power to live, being full of resentment and fear, shame and guilt, harming others, creating problems with ourselves and others, and not having a solution to that. And we live that way, and then alcohol becomes the solution. And so alcohol was the solution for alcoholism. And the solution that the AA has for alcoholism is conscious contact with your creator, a relationship with your creator, and they have a program of recovery to do that. So that's why we study it. The more we study it, the more knowledge I have of the directions, the more I do it, then I'll keep doing it more. And more gets revealed all the time. And it says it's not cured. Cures mean that all the conditions are eliminated. And we're never cured because we still have self and self-will. But we learn how to treat it each day. And so it's like diabetes and insulin. You're always a diabetic, but if you take insulin, your glucose will be normal. You don't take insulin, your glucose is going to be high. And alcoholic living on self and self-centered is not a pretty sight. And you can be sober, physically sober, and a mess. Physical sobriety does not treat alcoholism. It just means you're living with the disease and you have no solution. And that's why when people come in, they usually feel good for a few months. It's great. This is the best thing that ever happened to them. And then they're living sober without the steps. And then things are suddenly, it says, sober, son of a bitch, everything's real. And you don't have alcohol. So you're never cured of it. It says what we really have is a daily reprieve. Daily reprieve. So this is a daily step 10. I take it every minute. And it's a reprieve means a stay of execution. So we're relieved. We have a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Now, I've heard some people say that step 10 and 11 are maintenance steps. I really believe that those are people who really never worked the steps out of the book. They don't really understand. What you're maintaining is fit spiritual condition. So you're a marathon runner and you're getting ready for the Olympics, and every day is the Olympics. And you got to stay in that fit spiritual condition because every day is your Olympic race. And if you don't, then you start getting, you're not as fit. And eventually you get more and more separated from your creator, and then you're out on your own. See, when you're in conscious contact, it's a magnet and a paperclip. You're right there. But the problem with us is that we can separate, and when we get a little bit away, we start feeling not so good. But we can handle that. Then we get out here, oh, it's not bad. But when we get out here, things are really bad. And so you don't want to get too far away from your creator, and step 10 and 11 is how we try to stay pretty close. But the interesting thing is it's a magnet and we're a paperclip. And the closer the paperclip gets, the more the magnet will pull you in. So the more you, when you seek God, it says somewhere in the book, when we seek God and get close to Him, then He takes care of us. We're just there. And we don't have to do the final part, it just happens. But you want to be the paperclip seeking the magnet. And when you get close, you're there. And so a daily reprieve continues to the maintenance of a spiritual condition that's fit. spiritual condition that's fit is one where you can see the truth about things and you're not living in this world that's not reality. You can see the truth about your anger and your fear, and you can see the truth about alcohol, and you have spiritual tools so that you don't believe your anger and you don't believe your fear, and you don't take actions on them that harm others. It says, every day is a day when we must carry. I wonder what they mean by this. Do they really mean every day? They don't mean every day, do they? Once a week, whenever I feel like it. It says every day is a day when I must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. Must carry the vision of God's will into all our activities. Now, why would they want us to do that? What is a vision of God's will in all of our activities? Well, the vision of God's will in all your activities is how you can be the characteristics of God: love, patient, kind, tolerant, considerate, compassionate, how you should be, how God wants me to be, and then my actions will be, as the result of that, will be good. How I want to be, a vision. Now, how do you do that? Meditate on it every day. Say, God, please give me a vision of your will in all my activities. Read spiritual books, read spiritual things. Meditate on that. And it gives you several suggestions in the book. They talk about love, patience, tolerance, kindness, compassion. And then why? How can I best serve thee? Thy will not be done, quotation marks. You ever notice that? It's a quote. I wonder where that's from. It's from the big, big book. And it's also from this book I'm going to read that they use for sinners only, where he got a lot of this information. And it's a direct thing that there's a vision of God's will and how can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. Now, why is that good to have his will and not mine be done? Well, if it's my will, I know the results of that. I did the fourth step. I came here with a wristband. My life was a mess. I don't want to do that anymore. Now, I also can tell sober when I'm back in my will. Things aren't going right. I'm getting fear. I'm getting angry. I'm acting out. I don't want to do my will anymore. I want to do thy will. Now, here's the deal. It says if you do this, and you must do this every day, these are thoughts, and guess what they use again, which must go with us constantly. So all day long, you have to say, now what's God's will in this situation? How can I best serve God right now in this situation? Just do those two sentences all day long and see if your life isn't better. Now that reminds me of the paragraph we're going to read that John always likes to quote, we pause when agitated or doubtful. We pause when we're agitated or doubtful, when you're emotional, our thinking, our emotions are out of line. We want to pause and then say, how can I best serve thee? Thy will not be done. It says if we do that, we're much less danger of anger, worry, foolish decision, making a mess of our lives. So these are the musts. I don't think this is read enough meetings. You know, I never see this paragraph read. It says, every day is a day when I must carry this vision. How can I best serve thee? These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. Now here's something that you don't hear at meetings either. We're always talking about self-will, right? And self-will and self-will and self. But here's the deal. If you carry this vision and these thoughts, then you can exercise your will. So you can exercise your will as long as it's along this line of serving God and others. Use your will, use your power of your thoughts, your mind, to serve God, carry his vision. And then that's, you're using your mind. So you get your mind back on page 85. You lost it when you came in here. So when do you get your ability to use your mind? When you've done steps 4 through 9 and you're in step 10. And if you're carrying this vision. And it says it's the proper use of the will. And so it says, so that paragraph, it means so much to me. I meditate on that every day. I've done this so long I can see pages 84 to 88, but I tell new people, read it every day. Read in the morning, read in the evening. I don't care whether it's your first day. It's better than what you knew before. It won't hurt to read this and try to do this, but you do it better when you've done 4 through 9. It says, much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from him who has all knowledge and power. So what are we trying to do in the steps? We're trying to get strength, inspiration, direction from him who has all knowledge and power. Now that's a subtle word for God. And what is God as I understand him? It's that which has all knowledge and power. And to me, God's a force, it's love. And I want direction from that, strength and inspiration from that, rather than from who? From me. And so step 10 is where I'm when I start receiving strength, inspiration, direction from me, I stop it. I say, that's the wrong strength, inspiration, direction. I want to get it from God. Now, how do I know when I'm getting strength, inspiration, direction from me? I'm bothered. I'm irritated. I'm angry. I'm fearful. I don't like this. I'm judging that. And so I have to stop and say, I'm getting the wrong strength, inspiration, direction. Now, I couldn't recognize this till I came here and I worked the steps. Because when I came in here, when I got my strength, inspiration, direction, for me, I thought that was real. When my mind told me something, I believed it. Boy, that made a mess. I don't want to do that anymore. So it says, if we have carefully followed directions, you see, you get the hint. You want to follow the directions. You want to get strength, inspiration, direction from God. And what's the result? You've begun to sense the flow of his spirit into us. We can feel God's spirit in us. The theologies that talk about the Holy Spirit and this and that. What we get is we have our Creator in it and we feel his spirit. We feel his power inside of us. And to some extent, we have become God conscious. Now, when we came in here, we were unconscious to God. We didn't realize it. We may have believed in God and prayed to him, but we didn't. We acted as if he didn't exist. We ran our own show. But now we have God consciousness. What could be greater than that? So what does that mean? How do I use that? Well, today, if I'm starting to judge or getting a little angry or fearful, I say, you know, I have a power that I can turn to, God. Change the way I see it. Remove this. And it doesn't have to have power over me. So I'm conscious that there is a power I can go to. Ask him, and it'll take that away. And so that's a lot better than the way I used to live. And it says, we have begun to develop this vital sixth sense. So it's something that you begin to develop, and then you get real good at it, so you can tell when you've been sober a while when you're getting off the beam right away. And you can say, well, you can go down there and make a mess of it, or I could stop right now. And so we don't always stop right now. I don't always. But when I do, I know that that's, and I stop, and I ask God, and I change the way I see things. And it says we must go further, and that means more action. So you want to go further. You want to develop this vital sense. And it says, I wrote in here a few things. And sixth sense, intuitive faculty giving awareness not explicable from normal perception. Think about that. You get an awareness of the reality that what you couldn't explain from your normal perception. You see things differently. Does anybody today get bothered by something? Stop and then see it differently and get undisturbed. That's a perception you get from God. So now we're on step 11. I also wrote something. I heard this today at the meeting I went to at noon. And we were talking about, people were talking about the obsession to drink. Anybody have an obsession to drink in their life? Anybody have it bother, cause problems for you? And so I said, for me today, I have an obsession with me. And that's what I want to be free of. I don't want to be obsessed with Michael anymore, what Michael wants and thinks and needs. And so that's what I'm asking God to relieve me of each day. Because if I'm not relieved of that, then the obsession to drink is going to come in. And the only power I have to be relieved that the obsession to drink doesn't come from me, it comes from God and my relationship with God. All I have to do is get out of me and go back to God. So step 11 suggests prayer and medication. Now, meditation. The first time I heard that, that's what Joe and Charlie said. I said, well, you know, somebody at the meeting raised their hand and said, where do I get the medication? And we do, we get medication, we get medicine for our disease through step 11. And it's called meditation, and there are different types of meditation. And the type of meditation that they talked about in the big book was they would meditate on scripture. They would meditate on scriptures, and they would read the scripture, they would all sit, they would meditate, and then they would write down what was revealed to them. And then they would share that. And so that's the meditation that they use. They would focus on something. And so, like, I'll focus on what's the vision of God's will for me. And the other thing I'll focus on, it says, it bring love, patience, tolerance, kindness into all my affairs today. Those are the kind of things that they're talking about in meditation. You can practice, you know, chanting and the incense and all. I'm not saying that's good or bad. But what they were doing was they were taking specific scriptural passages and they would meditate on it. And they would have it revealed. And I'm going to go over Saturday at the meeting the books that they used, the information they used. It says we shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly. So they're talking about constant prayer, and I thought of something Chuck C. said that was so powerful. They asked him, who's his sponsor? You know, Chuck C. was really well respected. So he said, everyone. And he said, every thought, he asked him how you pray. He said, every thought's a prayer. Think about it. If you're thinking about yourself, it's a prayer that you'll get that. Or do you want a prayer of God's will for you? What are your thoughts centered on? And it's a constant. And it says it works if I have the proper attitude and work at it. And so what's the proper attitude for prayer and meditation? They don't say. One of my thoughts is the proper attitude is to seek God's will for me, to seek knowledge of God, to have the humility to seek the power in my prayer, not to have my prayers where I make a list of everything I want today and ask God to help me get it. It's to be completely humble, powerless, seeking the power to guide and direct me. That's just my thoughts. And the attitude, and then you have to work at it. And it works if you do it. And I can't convince you it works until you do it. And there are people in here who do it, and they pray, and they know how to seek God, and it works. It says, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. So here's the suggestions they're going to make for the proper attitude and work of God, prayer and meditation. And I'm just going to begin the retirement at night, but I'll pick that up next week, because I want to spend some time on it. The first suggestion they make for your prayer meditation 11th step is when you retire at night. Now, some people think that you do, the 10th step is where you retire at night and inventory your day. But the 10th step is where you inventory your day all day long, where you're getting disturbed and how you get undisturbed. And then at night is when you inventory how you did during the day. How was your conscious contact with God today? And you're going to constructively review it. Why? So you can learn from it. It's like doing a four-step inventory at night. And then you can ask certain questions. They ask the same questions again they ask all the time. Were you resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Why do they ask that? That's when self is being manifest. That's when I'm back in me running the show, playing God. Do I owe an apology? We talk about that, step 8 and 9. Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person? And notice the word at once. At once, they use at once in the big book a lot. And I got it from this the scripture book that they read for sinners only. And I'm going to read some of that where they talk about at once a lot, constantly, in that book. And it's actually a book that is people writing, two women meditated. And we don't know who they are, it's anonymous. And they wrote down their meditations of God actually talking to them. So it's called God Calling. And it was put together by this C.S. Russell in 1931. And I think they've sold 5 or 10 million copies. And I was reading it, it's really powerful stuff. So I'm using that now in my meditation. Were we kind and loving towards all? Well, were they asking you that? They're saying you should be kind and loving toward all. But where weren't you? And what could you have done better? And they're telling you, where weren't you connected to God and having the vision of his will? Were you thinking of yourself most of the time? God, why would they ask us that? Or was I thinking of what I could do for others? You see, it's a choice. Either you're thinking of yourselves or you're thinking of others. Where were you all day long? And you want to spend more time thinking of others, then you'll see you're going to have less resentment, fear, and selfishness, dishonesty. It's all related. We're going to go through this next week. And it says, what could we pack into the stream of life? So I was thinking, life is a stream, it's a river, it's flowing. What can I pack into the stream of life? And then there's a warning. I don't want to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection. Why not? Because then I'm back in self. See, then I'm back in self. And after making my review, I'm going to ask God, that's a prayer, whenever we ask in the big books, I'm going to pray, God, forgive me. And how will I know that God forgives me if I've forgiven everybody that day? And it says, God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. And this word inquire is again asking. I'm going to ask God what corrective measures should be taken. How can I work this spiritual exercise? How can I stay close to you better? And then it says, it'll come. And then they start with the morning, which we'll pick up with next week. And then the corrective measures should be taken, I wrote, to stay on the path, to be undisturbed. So it's a constant thing. You inventory every night. I do it every night. I don't write it down, spend hours on it. But I have it, I meditate on it at night. I have the questions. I ask myself the questions. So I'm going to finish with that. And then we're going to pick up and we're going to review pages 86 to 88 next week. That's powerful stuff. I know there are people in here that they really relied on that in their recovery. And so we're going to open it up now.